Thank you very much. So good morning, everybody. Okay, so I want to discuss here the orbital and magnetic physics, in particular compound spinels, and I'm focusing on the vanadium spinels. Here are the T2G orbitals are partially filled, so the orbital, the degree of freedom, is active in these compounds. And the, yes, where is my control? Yes. And this is the outline of my talk. I want to show you two topics here. One is concerning with this zinc compound, and the other one is for aluminium vanadate. And the, before going into these two materials, I will show you some brief introduction to the spinel compounds, including lattice structure and the orbital states, and some complete lists of the T2G spinels. And the, yeah, in the first example, zinc vanadate, I want to discuss about the theoretical controversy on the orbital ordering patterns and also the thermodynamics in this compound. And the main focus is on these theoretical different proposals for the spin and orbital physics in this compound. So I want to discuss the relative importance of Kugel-Chomsky super exchange and Jahn-Teller coupling and relativistic spin orbit coupling. And also I want to make a brief comment on the symmetry analysis, because orbital degree of freedom is coupled to lattice degree of freedom, so the symmetry is very important. And the, actually the recent experiments on the related manganese vanadium 204 gave us some lesson for this symmetry analysis, and the, there is some hint to the, this controversy. And the second example is this aluminium vanadate. So we use this electrode one. And here I want to discuss some interesting phenomena, self-organized cluster. We call this heptamer because cluster includes seven sites. And I have this heptamer here. And I want to show some proposal of this heptamer scenario to understand the physical properties of this aluminium compound. And actually this heptamer is a kind of molecule of bonding states with T2D orbitals. And finally, I will make some comments on the implication of this cluster to the famous heavy fermion compound, lithium vanadate. Okay, so let me start from the very brief introduction to the spinels. The chemical formula is given by Av2O4, and this, I show here the cubic unit cell of this system. This is very complicated, but you can see basically two different objects. One is this yellow AO4 tetrahedra, and the other is this BO6 octahedra. And I will discuss the so-called B spinels. So the, in these B spinels, A-site cations are non-magnetic, so we can forget about these yellow things. Then you can see this three-dimensional network of edge-sharing BO6 octahedra. And in each center of octahedron, we have B magnetic cations. And if you connect them, then we end up with this famous pyroclastic lattice. And it is famous for the strong geometrical fluctuation. So these spinels have this pyroclastic lattice in the magnetic sublattice. So the fluctuation is very important here.
The unit cells are four formula units, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Four, yeah?
Yeah. So pyroclastic lattice have four-site unit cell. Yeah, Bravais lattice is four-site. So this tetrahedra is a Bravais lattice of this pyroclastic. So this is extended cubic, the so-called cubic unit cell, containing 16 sites. And this is a kind of incomplete table of the B spinels with T2G electrons. And the, in the upper column, I show here the compound with integer number of B electrons, D1, D2, and D3. This is titanium compound, this is vanadium, and this is chromium. And in the lower panel, I show here the half integer compound. I mean, D0.5, D1.5, and D2.5. They are called mixed balance compound. So, and in my talk, I will focus on this vanadate and this zinc or magnesium vanadate and aluminum vanadate. And the, yeah, in this topic, I will focus on the mechanism of two transitions and complicated order, magnetic order, and the role of orbital degree of freedom, and I will discuss some controversies on this topic. And in this aluminum vanadate, I will show a scenario of the self-organization of the cluster heptamers. And the, in relation to this cluster formation, I will discuss a little bit about this famous heavy fermion lithium vanadate. And the, yeah, actually, very recently we worked on this chromium oxide also, and this is actually D3 compound. So the 3-4 T2g orbital is half filled. So this is spin-only system. And the, even though there is only spin degree of freedom, there are several interesting properties in this compound. For example, the half magnetization plateau because of the strong geometrical frustration. But the, yeah, this talk is on the orbital physics, so I omit this topic. So if you're interested in, please ask me and let's discuss it. And the, okay, so, and the, yeah, before going into the zinc vanadate, I show here the web page of our workshop, wiki page. And this page was edited by Van den Brink last week for after our discussion in the Wednesday session. And he kindly listed many topics here. And my talk will be related to these several points in this page. For example, I will discuss the importance of relativistics in orbit coupling in T2G system, and also the orbital and fluctuation. Frustration is important, especially in the orbitals in frustrated here, the pile gravity. And also I will discuss the relative importance of Young Terra versus super exchange. And also, as we have seen, the lattice structure has edge sharing octahedra, so this role of geometry is important here. And also I will discuss some dimensionality reduction due to orbital ordering in zinc vanadate. And also I will make a brief comment on the direct DD hopping versus DPD in this compound. Okay, so let me start from zinc topic. So this compound shows two transitions. Here I show the specific heat and the magnetic susceptibility. You can see two anomalies here. One is this 50K transition. This is a first order transition with structural change from high temperature cubic to low temperature tetragonal phase. And this red point shows the lattice constant in the cubic unit cell. So C-axis is shrinked and AB elongated. And the difference is 0.6%, I think. And the second transition is here. This is a continuous transition, and the, this is magnetic transition. Actually, the antiferromagnetic moment appears here. And the lower panel, this panel, shows the entropy estimate from this specific heat. And you can see some jump here. This is first order transition. And the entropy change is actually here the about 30 or 40% of log 3. And the, you can see very tiny change here. Entropy is changing here less than 5% at magnetic ordering. So this is very small change. And actually, this is very important point. And the, also the, in the magnetic susceptibility, the change at TC2 is very small. At TC1, there is a jump, but this is very tiny change. And the, yes. And the, in the lowest temperature phase, we have the so-called I41 over AMD lattice symmetry. I will discuss this later. But anyway, this is obtained by X-ray diffraction data for powder sample. And the, yes, this is very important point in the latter discussion. So I will come back on this point.
Can you remind me actually what is energy gap?
Energy gap. I don't remember the exact value, but this is a very good Mohs insulator.
Quite big.
Yeah, quite big. I think the resistivity is very high. It is unmeasurable.
Right? It's big.
Order of electron volt, right?
Order of electron volt. I think it was one.
I thought it's much smaller. I thought it's about
0.2. Yeah. 0.2, I think. You estimated in the first principle, right?
Yeah.
What was the value of your?
We get up to one to two electron volts.
Okay. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, but it depends on you.
Of course.
you just run with different U's. So okay. you basically.
Well, anyway, the resistivity is high enough, and it's very quiet activation
time. Yeah,
of course, a powder sample. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But later I will show the resistivity data for the powder sample of aluminium vanadate, and I'm sure that the zinc vanadate resistivity is much higher than the aluminium vanadate.
I know that it's much higher, but it's the vanadate.
Yeah. I will check that.
Okay.
I believe that this is a good Mohs insulating state. Okay, and orbital order state is not directly determined in experiments. But on the other hand, the magnetic state was determined by these people, by neutron scattering experiment. And the ordering state is like this. This is basically collinear antiferromagnetic state. And it is complicated, but you can see up-down, nail-type ordering along this 1-1-0 chain, or 1-1-bar-0 chain. And you can see up-down-down, four times period ordering along 0-1-1 or 1-0-1 directions. And at t equals 0, the antiferromagnetic moment is largely reduced from the saturation value 2 mu b. The estimate is around 0.6 mu b. And here we have 2d electrons coupled by Hund-Sruell coupling. So the moment expected value is s equal 1. So full saturation should be 2 mu b, but it is much reduced from that value.
Sorry, excuse me. Last week, so Radelio in fact was saying that they get a peak higher than that, so 0.9.
Yeah, this is the estimate from Sunhan Lee's data.
Yeah.
And so what does Barry?
Yeah, he gets a little bit higher, so like 0.9.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Anyway, it is reduced. It is reduced. Almost half or less than half. Okay. And so the questions are the following. Number one, what is the microscopic mechanism of these two transitions, and who is the main player, super exchanges or Yantera or relativistic spin-orbit coupling? This is a very important point. And the second question is how the complicated antiferromagnetic ordering is stabilized in this compound, and also the moments why this is reduced so largely. And finally, we want to answer the role of the orbital degree of freedom in this compound. And if there are orbital ordering, or if yes, what types of orbital ordering is there. Okay, so let me start from our model, and I will discuss other models after that. Our model was based on the simple Kugel-Chomsky type exchange, which is derived from three-fold multi-orbital Hubble model for T2G manifold, and we included tetragonal Yantera coupling. And we assumed several things. One is for the transfer integrals in the multi-orbital Hubble model, we assumed we included only sigma-type transfer integrals, which is shown in this view graph. For example, for nearest neighbor transfer integrals, we included this kind of dd, dxy overlap along xy chain. This is the largest contribution, I believe, in this compound. And for And also we included this kind of next nearest transfer overlap along the chain. We call this T3rd, because this is a third neighbor in the original particle lattice. So yeah, probably for nearest neighbor coupling, the DD direct should be the main contribution. But for this third neighbor transfer integrals, DD or DPPD overlaps may contribute to this. And these values are taken from the first principle estimate tight binding fit for the first principle dumb calculation for the related Benedict, leasing Benedict.
The Dragon-Hoyle-Keller coupling means that you didn't consider the motion of all possible motions of all oxygens, but you only considered this string.
We restricted in one motion because the experimental C-axis is string, so we included only this one.
But in principle, you know, that
just the tip of an edge. That is actually the assumption. I mean, we break the symmetry by hand. And also, we assume the phonon degree of freedom as classical object. And also, we neglected the spin relativistic spin orbit coupling. This is the point that we discussed this later. And also, we completely neglect trigonal distortion. So yeah, I show here the model, but it looks very complicated. So yeah.
Is this hopping come from where?
Which hopping?
The overlaps.
No, yes.
This one?
Yeah.
This is DD direct for nearest neighbor.
Number
comes from tight binding fit for the Dund calculation. Actually this is not for zinc Benedict, lithium Benedict, but we borrow this value. Do you have
reason the second neighbor is negligible?
Yes, I believe so, because we derived the effective exchange model, and J2 is frustrated actually, and also J2 is not straight in this direction,
right.
It is bended, so the path is rather complicated, and I believe that the overlap should be small, and actually tight binding fit, the second is rather smaller than this. And this is the derived model, and this looks complicated, but it has very general features of this kind of Kugel-Chomsky type model. So the coupling is divided into two different contributions. One is one favors in ferro and orbital anti-ferro correlation, and the other term favors spin anti-ferro and orbital ferro configuration. And also the symmetry is very general, common to the Kugel-Chomsky type model. So spin part, this S dot S, is completely isotropic Heisenberg, and the orbital part is very anisotropic. And this is very general feature. And actually, our model is extreme because it is completely Ising type coupling, because we assumed we included only sigma type hopping. It is diagonal to orbital. So it doesn't induce any exchange type orbital coupling. It is completely Ising type. And so that is the, I think, the assumption.
But the Ising axis depends on which?
Of course, it depends on bond direction and orbital state. So this is very complicated. This is not Ising, exactly speaking. It is three-state Bose type, because we have three orbitals. And yeah, as you said, the interaction coupling depends on direction as well as orbital state. Yeah. Okay, and also we included tetragonal Jahn-Teller coupling, which is, yeah, this kind of, which induces this kind of splitting. So as I said, we broke the symmetry by hand.
Can you repeat, maybe I just so what was the reason for neglecting the hopping via oxygen?
Actually, for nearest neighbor, we can say that this term comes from DD direct, not DPD, because T2G orbital has a large overlap along the chain. But probably for third neighbor term, probably we should think about DPPD, because they are far and the.
So your classical spins are
normalized
how?
Actually, the model at this stage, the model is quantum. But we approximate this model by at the classical level in the actual calculation. Okay, this is spin one operator.
From that calculation, can you separate direct DD overlap and y incident?
Yeah, you can do that.
What can you say about it? Because in principle, actually, it's possible. So.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, using downfolding, you can do that. Basically, yeah. you decide to downfold only to the vanadium orbitals, or you decide to leave active vanadium and oxygen orbitals, and yet then you just compare the difference in parameters between one and the other, and you can say whether the oxygen is really important or not.
And we did that. What did you get?
Well, for this system, I didn't do that. I did that, for instance, for a copper tellurate, which is also it's also a frustrated system. Copper tellurate.
Copper, no, but copper is maybe very much hidden because
exactly,
copper is
and there, exactly, and then
there everything will be like oxygen.
Yeah. But here I didn't do that, so we can do that. This.
Can you do
that? I
think
somebody did. Yeah. Well, the Swiss student, I think she did that for lithium vanadium.
Yeah. But it's also lithium.
It's this system.
This is also lithium.
Yeah. But I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember.
Well, that's
do you remember what was that?
I can check.
But
that.
Why do you need this?
Because the whole clear oxygen, then there are quantum terms here.
Yeah, but I can check
but
that.
Can, yeah,
because I think, the student of Tanus.
The orbital model will do completely different, actually. The orbital pattern
from the Tanya may look. Yeah, but again, question about this orbital pattern. This is not all terms, yeah? I mean,
yeah.
Why?
In this model, if you include only direct DD, then it's all.
Yeah, we can say that we included only DD, or we can say that effectively we included DPPD. No. But anyway, we included only diagonal
all
sigma.
On side, much more.
But I'm not a professor. So what?
How many compounds
are there generally, just for a single nearest neighbor?
But what's starting from carbon? Who told you that? So what means?
No. Yeah, that's a perfect question.
So if there is a two orbital, who can close? Then of course orbital equivalent to spin. If there is a three orbital, then there is, this.
Yeah, but it's not a spin. No.
It's not spin one.
They just took into account. No,
quadruple.
They took into account the quadruple.
Wait.
Quadruple, tetragonal splitting.
Yeah.
Okay, look here just at the bottom. You just separate XY because of tetragonal distortion. And then you always put one electron in the right, and remaining one electron is double generated XZYZ. That means the respective model will be in fact mostly for XZYZ on the double generated.
Yeah, actually, you will see that the orbital ordering in this doubly degenerate manifold, one electron will come here.
Simple
question or comments. I mean, if you want to write a quantum model, so even for two band, it's very complicated because there is so-called spin flip. Remember, spoke by Andy Miller. But for three band orbital path, it's awful many terms.
You're just
on between two sites.
Single side. Coulomb interaction is complicated. Yeah, U 1, 2, 3, 4, and then.
In a Hubbard model, not in real life.
It's a semantic difference. Hubbard model. Multi-orbital Hubbard model is complicated.
Sure.
If that is a Hubbard model, maybe it's with U and up and down, but this is only.
The repulsion between electrons on different orbitals, different, say.
It's very, very many terms.
And then you have an exchange interaction also.
Sure. Like orbital exchange.
Yeah.
This kind of
two sides, three side terms.
Not oscillator integrals.
This exactly what.
Okay.
This is already projected.
Let me say that this is very simple model.
At least what you see that the amount of oxygen at the Fermi level is small. The hybridization is going to be small.
It's not question of oxygen. It's question of.
Of the path. But nevertheless, I mean, in the copper systems, it's a huge
hybridization.
I don't know why you should worry so much about all that. If the gap is an electron hole, surely it's reasonable.
Yeah, and also,
model without charge fluctuations on change. So that's some effect of all. Yeah. And there's still a lot of coupling once you start looking at exchanges. But
yeah.
It's at least
okay. Yeah, let me say again, this is a very simple model, but this is already complicated, as you said. We cannot solve it exactly, right? And actually, we approximate spin degree of freedom at the classical level in the following this calculation, and we apply the Monte Carlo simulation to study thermodynamics. Okay. So this is frustrated pyrocular system with spin, orbital, and lattice. So already very complicated. You agree? Okay. Okay. If you want to go to beyond, then you can do that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everything is classical because orbital is already classical at this level because it is three state pots, and we treated phonons as classical. So only quantum contribution comes from spin, but we approximate this as classical. And this is a typical Monte Carlo data for the specific heat and the magnetic susceptibility. And if we choose the parameter, then we can get this kind of behavior, temperature dependence of specific heat. That it shows two anomalies. One is first order Young here, and the other one is diverging continuous transition. And actually, we estimated entropy, and the estimates are very consistent with the experimental estimates. And also, we obtained this kind of temperature dependence of magnetic susceptibility. And
right here in your model, there's entropy associated with the lattice as well? Or?
Yeah. Actually, this is a lattice and orbital transition.
Yeah.
And the change is about 30 or 40% of log 3. And the value itself is consistent with experiment. And I believe that in experiment
also. So the log 3 is just counting the orbital entropy?
Yeah, or spin. Yeah, you can say spin or orbital.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, the experiment also, the estimate is about 30 or 40 of log 3. So that's the value. Yeah.
And what about if one takes the, tries to integrate the entropy up to higher temperature to see how much you're actually getting? You have some entropy, which is, has the spin entropy and the orbital entropy.
Yeah, actually, we just estimated the change of entropy here. Yeah? Because in the classical model, the integrated entropy is
like,
experiment. Oh, let's go back.
That's in some sense a test of how good the model without charge fluctuations is.
So the data is only up to 80. Yeah, 80. Probably at higher temperature, for example, they subtract some things. So I don't know.
How much is Curie-Weiss constant?
Curie-Weiss constant is about 1,000 Kelvin. It's much higher than this temperature. Because this is highly frustrated system.
But since orbital transition occurs at such a low temperature now, on this material, you can look at the kind of Curie-like behavior of, bulk modulus or something.
For example, the Curie-Weiss type behavior is obtained at very, very high, 800 or 500.
I mean Curie-like Weiss.
The
first structural condition.
Let me go back to this.
This large value of Curie constant, real Curie constant, for me somehow, is it okay that it come out from estimates of the change?
I think this Curie-Weiss behavior is determined by J in our model, and our J is several hundred Kelvin, so I think it's okay. And this temperature dependence is also at least qualitatively consistent with experimental data. There is a jump and there is very tiny change up to there.
Could it be due to the, I don't know, track paramagnetism, because you have several orbital and some transitions between them.
But
what I think is the situation, I don't know.
Yeah, in this calculation, there is no.
Sorry, on the right hand plot, where's your calculation? You know, all this.
All calculations seem to be different.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Excuse me, did you do some paratempering for this? Or, I mean, it looks real.
Sorry?
Did you do some tempering, paratempering?
No. This is very simple, local flip. Because you know that the pyrocular lattice is not so hard. I mean, for example, the simple Heisenberg classical spin, you can go down to very low temperature by local flip because of the some, how to say, degeneracy. And the, I show here the orbital and spin structure at the lowest temperature what we obtain. And this is the orbital ordering pattern. And this is the spin ordering pattern. And you can see that we found that the layer type, we call this A-type orbital order. In one layer, dxy and dzx orbitals are occupied. And in the next layer, dxy and dyz orbitals are occupied, and so on. And the important point is that the dxy is singly occupied at all the sites. And the dzx and dyz are occupied alternatively along these directions. And the, so this is a theoretical prediction, our prediction, and I will discuss this in comparison with other proposals later. And the magnetic sector, this is a completely consistent pattern with the neutron scattering experimental data. And the, I want to explain the mechanism of these transitions. So let's think about the instability in the high temperature phase. And if we assume the orbital parastate in our model, it means that we replace the orbital sector as the by the averaged value in the Kugel-Komsky model. Then we obtain this kind of effective spin model. And this is isotropic Heisenberg model with anti-ferromagnetic coupling. And it has been shown that this model shows no long-range ordering down to t equals zero. So this means that the spin correlations had to be developed by themselves alone, so without any help from the lattice or orbital degrees of freedom. But on the contrary, in the orbital sector, if we assume the spin parastate, in the orbital sector, we obtain this kind of effective model. This is the very anisotropic three-state Potts model, and the interaction depends on the bond direction and orbital states, as I mentioned.
They studied the ground state.
So, I don't know, but there might be some possibility to have some.
For the nearest neighbor.
Yeah, and they did ferromagnetic JSV case by Monte Carlo simulation. And in that case, they obtained a phase transition. But this here, the JSV is anti-ferromagnetic.
Yeah.
And the, at least in the ground state, it is on the disorder line.
In ground state, they're still degeneracy.
Yeah. And disordered state. And they didn't do any Monte Carlo simulation for the anti-ferromagnetic JSV, so we don't know, but of course, there might be some possibility to have order from disorder effect, but we don't know. Anyway, it is rather difficult to have the spin ordering by themselves alone. And here, the orbital sector is very anisotropic, and it can lift the degeneracy partially. And the, for example, this orbital configuration, it is in the previous result. This is one of the lowest energy state in this unit. And finally, the tetragonal Yantera distortion helps to lower this state, and this is the unique ground state in this mean field type analysis. So this is why the orbital ordering takes place first, before spin ordering. And once
without
Yantera, there is still a partial degeneracy.
What about these results of Jekyll and Perkins?
They argued the degeneracy also.
They found the difference.
Different. There are some choices. And if we...
No,
they didn't. they included spin orbit coupling. I will discuss that later.
The cubic. Yeah.
And once the orbital is ordered, we obtain very anisotropic spin system. Actually, the in the our orbital order state, dxy is singly occupied, and it has very large overlap along the xy chain. So there is very strong anti-ferromagnetic spin exchange along this 110 chain. This is largest J. And the nearest neighbor exchange before, between chains, between these chains, J prime is rather small, and it is ferromagnetic. And the, actually, it is 10 times, about 10 times weaker than J. So this is very anisotropic quasi-1D spin system under the orbital ordering. And we included also J3, and it is smallest energy scale in this model, and it is only 2% of J. And finally, this J3 connects these 1D chains to stabilize three-dimensional spin ordering at lower temperature tier. So, yeah, orbital degree of freedom play an important role here. It reduces the dimensionality effectively this in this system, and the, it makes the system as quasi-1D spin chains. And this quasi-1D nature is responsible for the reduced magnetic moment at ground state, in our opinion, in our result. Actually, here we applied the linear spin wave analysis, and the, yeah, I don't want to go into the details of the results, but anyway, we obtained the very large reduction of the moment for our ground state spin configuration because of the dimensionality reduction.
Is it spin one chains?
So this should be spin one chain,
right? Yeah, this is a spin one chain. Should be gapped if J3.
Oh, yeah, but you know that the spin one Helden chain is very weak for the intercheck up. Actually, it is, gap is collapsed by the, I don't remember the number, but the, I think several percent of J.
2%?
No. 4 or 2. I don't remember.
What's 2%?
Oh, okay.
I think it's 4.
No. Okay, let me see. I don't remember, but the.
It depends on
here we have many bonds. Here we have many neighbors, but the anyway, the gap is very fragile to the interchain coupling. Yeah, of course, the gap itself is 40% of J, but actually the susceptibility is very huge in certain chains, so it's very fragile.
Is that easy to say, you know, which energy is actually gained at the first transition? Is it this exchange energy or the entire energy?
Okay, so there is structural change, so there is a gain in the largest sector. Mm-hmm. And also there is orbital ordering, so there is energy gain in the orbital sector. And also in the spin sector, we have 1D correlation, development of 1D correlation. So there is energy gain in the all sectors.
Okay.
And the actually, the above, below the orbital ordering transition, we have very rapid increase of 1D spin correlations. That is why we don't see any large entropy change or a large change of magnetic susceptibility at magnetic transition.
Magnetic susceptibility or specific heat should have a tail, right?
High temperature?
High temperature.
Yeah, in that sense, again, this is geometrically frustrated system, so partial entropy has been released.
But is it so in experiment? Does it have really a tail?
Yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, this is a short summary.
Once again, question came up. Can you prove that, let's say, which part of the energy gain is due to this exchange, which part comes from electromagnetic coupling?
So you're saying that is it
the high temperature transition?
Yeah. What is the most dominant?
Yeah, what's the more important? What is the bigger part of energy gain?
In your simulation, is that
the question? Yeah, we didn't estimate separately.
For instance, if you simply just or relations, in a better copy. Maybe you wouldn't be able to produce necessarily this particular structure, but
if we neglect the antenna coupling, then the orbital sector has still partial degeneracy.
Yeah, but if you force it to be same structure, then changing the antenna coupling to zero gradually. Extrapolating, so to say. So then you may say this energy comes from
We didn't do that. Yeah, we can do. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
But you can also ask about the expectation value of the exchange coupling and the expectation value of the Yontello coupling. Energy scales describing the splitting. So you ask about that just below the transition and how they compare.
But actually, Yontello itself wants to, you know, to be this expansion only, not contraction. So it's actually the other.
That is opposite.
It's mainly the gain of exchange energy.
Actually, this C-axis shrinkage is rather consistent with spin orbit coupling. It's opposite. Okay, so here
One question at this point, actually, because in principle, actually, you have the antenna which only takes into account coupling to this tetragonal state, net tetragonal distortion. But generally speaking, if you later on have also, say, this you occupy XY, and then later on you have this XDYZ ordering, which should also be coupled to some other type of thing.
Yes, exactly.
And this could also contribute somehow to this effective ordering of remaining XDYZ formula. This one you did not take into account.
We didn't take into account the additional
coupling. This would be really
we only included this. So, yeah. Okay, these are what we did.
Yeah, probably just look good. At the end, if you know spin and the structure, just go and do some of the calculation which include all kinds of distortion and estimate the energy difference. So this is easy if you know the structure. Mm-hmm. If you know orbital and spin structure, it's probably easy to answer your question.
Yeah, we show the in the next slide different orbital states. So yeah, we can do that. Okay, so what we obtained is listed here. So I think almost everything seems to be consistent with experiment in thermodynamics. And the last point is important point. We predicted A-type anti-ferro orbital ordering in the lowest temperature phase. And this point has been criticized by other people after our work. And actually, there has been many, several proposals, theoretical proposals. And basically, we can categorize the models into three different models. And one is ours, and we predicted this kind of layer-type orbital ordering. And the symmetry is A41 over A. You note that this symmetry is different from the experimental powder diffraction data A41 over AMD experiment result. So that was a point criticized by one of the organizers of this workshop, Oleg Chernyshov, in 2004. And he focused on this symmetry, and he proposed a model with emphasis on the relevance of relativistic spin orbit coupling. And his model predicted this kind of ferro-type uniform orbital order with complex orbital combination YZ plus IZX or YZ minus IZX something. And this is uniform orbital ordering, so the symmetry is different, A41 over AMD, and this is consistent with powder diffraction data. And the third model was proposed by Daniel Komsky in 2005. And this is rather different approach. These two models are based on the strong coupling picture, but this is started from, we can say that itinerant picture. So this is a kind of Vandiyantera picture, and they call this orbitary river, pious orderly, and the symmetry is quite different. And here, our model breaks the mirror and diamond right symmetry. M is mirror, D is diamond right. And he, in their model, in your model, the in addition to mirror and diamond right, face center symmetry is broken. So, and the, as I said, the experimental powder diffraction data is consistent with this symmetry. And also after these works, the mean field calculation by Perkins group, and also the first principle calculation by Dr. Valenti. And the, these two arguments are consistent with this picture. These calculations predicted the uniform orbital ordering.
Sorry, the predictions are all for the orbital sector to ground state?
Yeah, and also the spin sector has been...
Am I supposed to assume that this same orbital order exists in the intermediate temperature range?
For example, these arguments are for ground state, actually. Yeah, not for thermodynamics. That's the point, actually. I will come back to that. Yeah, you know that if the spin-orbit coupling is dominant, then the transition should be different. I mean, in general, we should have a single transition, one transition, because there is very strong coupling, on-site coupling between the orbital sector and spin. So once orbital or spin is ordered, then the other degree of freedom follows, in general. So, yeah, at least for me, it is rather difficult to have two transitions once the spin-orbit coupling is relevant, dominant.
I guess that's my question about the second one, is that, the ground state, I guess, you also have magnetic order with this, yeah. So just having that means you have broken time reversal.
He claims that the, yes.
Is it possible to have this state without broken time reversal?
Actually, this breaks the time reversal symmetry, but the, I remember that he argued the spin ordering pattern in the ground state, and he claimed that the, he can have consistent spin ordering pattern with the experimental data using this model.
Sir, I would love your did these calculations you took this symmetry as granted.
So what I took is the.
Or you allowed also for lower symmetry? Did you also allow for possibility of lower symmetry?
No, I took the tetragonal symmetry that was given from experiment.
So you kind of imposed it. You
yes.
did not check.
No,
whether,
I didn't.
You didn't allow for some.
I let them relax. This I did, but within this tetragonal symmetry.
Only within the tetragonal symmetry.
Yeah.
You didn't allow to.
No, I didn't check the other. I didn't check, for instance, this one, the P4 one, because for that, I should.
No, but at least this one.
This one is lower in symmetry. This one there.
Yeah, but did you allow it?
No, because Lee told me that in fact they checked and they didn't find this symmetry. That's why I thought, okay.
It's rather easy actually in this.
Yeah, it is.
Because you keep atomic coordinate, but you remove the symmetry elements and check whether you get lower energy.
I could do that. The only thing is that.
No, we did it actually. That's why.
Yeah, you did it. Okay.
Yeah, because. Well, we did it already 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
And we compared it all three. Didn't publish it actually, but Huawei did it 2 years ago. And, that year.
So I
didn't
know.
And then indeed it was still this without the orbit coupling, this you can superatomic.
Yeah, this I also get, yeah.
But even if we allow, so we compare actually all three.
Okay. You also had the trigonal distortion then.
Yeah.
You also had the trigonal distortion.
Trigonal distortion wasn't only because it's coordinate, atomic coordinate.
Okay. That
was
so you also had that.
It's a main issue.
Yeah.
So atomic coordinates we kept all, but we allowed system to remove some symmetry elements. We didn't really include any symmetry. So system itself could choose the symmetry, but keeping the same atomic coordinate.
Okay.
So orbital ordering could be any.
Yeah.
And actually, it was possible to stabilize actually all three solutions were locally stable. The program was convergent actually, so it was all locally stable solutions. And then you compare energies.
Yeah.
And without inner orbit coupling, this supernatomy was better.
But spin orbit coupling, well, we still are working on that actually. checking and using different codes and so on, because it's not quite satisfied yet. That's why we publishing this. And with spin orbit coupling, indeed, this middle one became better, and what and the right hand side also was only somewhat worse. Not much, but somewhat worse. But I simply wanted to know, because it depends very much on which code you use, whether you use full potential or...
Normally you need to do full potential and ignore all the symmetry.
Yeah, that's...
21st century is as simple as going to take a copy. You took a vast code, ignore all the symmetry and run the program.
You do Caparinello. You have to use Caparinello, and then you do Caparinello, and you let your system just relax. That's it.
No, I think I simply wanted to check when I thought that you did it also.
No, I just did it within that, because I just talked to the experimentalists, and they assured me, no, this is the symmetry we have, so, but it's easy to do. I mean,
it's easy, very easy.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, anyway, we are playing in the very complicated world. So yeah, anyway, the most important issue should be the role of relativistic spin orbit coupling in this system. So as I said, in the both theoretical and the powder diffraction data, the orbital ordering is consistent with the dominant effect under spin orbit interaction. But as I mentioned, I have some doubt in the thermodynamics, because if we have very large spin orbit coupling, then the transition should be single. It is hardly to have two different transitions, because the on-site strong coupling. But anyway, at this stage, we don't have any thermodynamic calculations by including spin orbit coupling. So that is the issue to be answered.
If spin orbit ordering is here, so interaction is here important, that means that it's also important in terrestrial data, or why here?
That's actually also an issue, because in principle we know that spin orbit coupling is important for heavy 3D. But for light 3D, like the Daniel and Adam, until now at least it was always kind of ignored, and there are some reasons.
Yeah, in titanate or vanadate.
It could be that actually here it's simply because of filtration. It could be that, actually the spin orbit coupling, it's indeed, if it works together simultaneously with spin. Well, that's actually this point, that there should be one transition.
But I mean, you can also have frustration.
Usually for simple things like perovskite, this interstellar is stronger, or orbital logic of whatever nature of that. Doesn't matter, it's much stronger, and the first high temperature, then it clenches for the moment, because actually it's always opposite. The interstellar and spin orbit, they just have a tendency to coil to positive.
No, okay, orbital exchange may be frustrated, but the interstellar cannot be frustrated. I mean,
in any case, material, simple materials actually always orbital ordering occurs separately and clench orbital moment. Mm-hmm. So why here it's not the case, if it's not the case, I don't really know.
Okay. That's
it's in problems with okay.
So just a simple-minded question, if you just preserve the local symmetry of the vanadium site and you include spin orbit, what's the multiplet structure?
On the atomic.
Yeah.
That was actually discussed by Oren Chenchu. And he obtained the, yeah.
Can you summarize it?
Yeah, he obtained that orbital state complex, YZ plus IZX. That's a multiplet.
That's a single site. That's one state. So what do you mean?
And
that's presumably also he's using the symmetry of the lattice. So if I just assume I still have a full cubic symmetry.
Don't remember in detail, but yeah, he included Yantera also, but it doesn't If I remember correctly,
it wasn't a, it,
yeah, ionic model, really ionic model, and he included Yantera, right?
Yeah, but there's a perturbation.
Yeah,
there's
a perturbation, and it doesn't lead any degeneracy lifting. If I remember correctly.
Exactly. Yeah, but just cubic crystal field and spin orbit.
Then you add one and one, yeah, one from spin. To electrons, yeah, and
right.
from effective number. And I don't know what will be the ground state. So two.
Yeah, I remember the question.
That's my question. What's the ground state, and how is it?
So you have change.
But probably what I did.
L plus S. Is it less than half field? Is L plus S? Is it higher than half field? Is L minus S?
No, no. But you have to take into account that this is a T to G orbital effective spin one. So it actually, you know, has opposite commutation rules.
Yeah, well, it's minus.
But I think what Oleg did is probably because he got this ZX, you know, ZY plus, that probably he messed up with this W. Yeah.
I'm sure he's.
Yeah.
He only works with W.
Yeah.
No, but in principle, that's also the equation of the moment. If there would be indeed spin orbit coupling, and then would it give you moment vision bigger than pure spin or smaller than pure spin?
They argue that there should be reduced by the anti-harmonic coupling between the orbital moment and the spin moment. That is the issue here. And so in this scenario, spin orbital scenario, the reduced moment is
not reduced. Because I never remember that L plus or L minus.
Yeah, actually, it is the anti-ferrotype coupling between L and S.
Anti-ferrotype.
You also see it in the calculations. You get we get 0.9 or something.
There are two different. Scenarios for that also.
Out of sheer curiosity, did anybody try to include spin orbit in, calculating these properties of the perovskites?
In perovskites? I don't know. Daniel, did...
In cobaltite, there was some
discussion.
I remember. But usually, actually, there is always some distortion which we know and which stabilize single level.
So this is the big issue, and I want to make very brief remark on this issue from the recent experiments on the X-ray diffraction for single crystal of related spinel manganese vanadium compound. Actually, in this zinc compound, as I said, the X-ray diffraction has been done only for powder sample. Recently, in this related vanadium spinel, they obtained very large single crystal, and they analyzed the symmetry of the lowest temperature phase. And in this compound, actually, the manganese have moment, and the configuration is 3D5, so the orbital is quenched in the manganese site. But vanadium site has 2D electrons, so this is the same situation for the zinc vanadium. 204. And actually, the sum dynamics is a little bit different. In this case, we have single transition and structural and the spin order. And actually, the low temperature phase has non-collinear ferry type. So the manganese moment, say, downwards, then the vanadium side has this kind of...
The tetragonal is also compression?
Yeah, compression, yes. And the compression is a little bit larger, almost twice compared to the zinc case. And this low temperature phase has been analyzed by using X-ray diffraction, and here is the data. And this 802 peak corresponds to diamond grade symmetry, and below TC, TN, they observe, you can see that this clear peak here. So the diamond grade symmetry is broken in the other phase. And this position is corresponding to the phase center symmetry, and you cannot see any peak, clear peak here. So it means that the phase center symmetry is whole, preserved. So from these facts, they concluded that the symmetry is I41/A. So this is the same symmetry as we predicted in the zinc case. So this is different from I41/AMB in the zinc case. But anyway, the compound is different, so you can say that probably the symmetry might be different between these two compounds. But I want to stress that the peak intensity of this, for example, diamond glide, is very, very tiny. Actually, by using this large single crystal, they observed about 10 to the minus 4 times smaller than the fundamental peaks, such as tetragonal peak. So it is very, very difficult to observe this kind of symmetry broken state by using powder samples. I think this is a very important lesson from this related spinel. So anyway, we need single crystal for zinc compound to settle our controversy.
Excuse me, what about the manganese sublattice? This is spin 5/2.
Yeah, this is A-site. So manganese have own diamond lattice.
So do you see any phase transition for this one?
There is only one transition, single transition.
Only this one, only, okay. Only.
And there happens the structural transition and magnetic transition happens simultaneously.
And then Grigon transition
last year? Oh, I don't remember, but I believe so. Okay, there are several other issues. For example, the role of trigonal distortion, and also the D and DP, this was discussed in the talk. And we want to understand the orbital and spin ordering in this related manganese oxide. And also, I wanted to stress again that we need some large single crystal for zinc case.
But you said that this non-collinear what is the main motif for forging of, say, vanadium? Is it similar to zinc concentrate, or is it completely
In the Zeros approximation, my expectation is the mechanism is similar to zinc. And manganese is a kind of external magnetic field to the vanadium sublattice.
Yeah, but
So this is a neutron data by Plumian and Sofogi, and they only showed this figure, and I didn't find any global.
The
anti-ferro component is there. This is a pair ferro type, but I don't know the next. So, yeah.
It says it's only two other Plumian cells, so if it is the same, that's it. Translation, right?
No. In unit cells, there are four such here. To start.
Yeah, but in the zinc case, we have eight sites.
Four. Four from the unit cells. And two from the unit.
But you say it's essentially the same anti-ferromagnetic, only because of the field from manganese it becomes kinetic.
Yeah, I don't know the details of this is fairy and non-collinear. For example, we should think about our model under the magnetic field or something. So yeah, we didn't.
Yeah, but okay, this component of C direction, that may be due to the coupling. So magnetic subject is down and this subject may be just
magnetic is down.
But the other component, the in-plane component, are this taking is the same as the zinc mandate or different?
Sorry, I don't know. So I will check that. Yeah, I don't know.
There are many spinels with magnetic atoms on the A and B sites. It's the AB exchange is larger than all others.
Yeah, in this
usually
case,
usually it is if it's something like iron or manganese. But if it is, say, vanadium, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, for example, this kind of fairy state is obtained for the large AB coupling.
Right, it's very natural. Right?
So probably the AB coupling is
large. That's my guess.
But if you do the very strong, it would be simply a collinear sublattice of one, A sublattice, and B sublattice would be also all collinear, like in magnetite. But it's not, actually. It's definitely more complicated. So apparently, B-B interaction is also important. If it wouldn't be, it would be much weaker than A-B.
Yeah, but it could be like quite a bit weaker, because there are many more B-B exchanges.
Yeah. Probably vanadium interaction should be weaker, but the yeah, probably it plays some role to have non-collinear state. Okay, so this is the end of first topic. So, and the almost. So shall I stop here, or may I continue quickly? Okay, so 15 or 30 minutes, please. And the, I will quickly do this. This is the aluminium vanadate. And here I want to make some comments on this self-organized cluster. So this is a different system. Vanadium valence is 2.5 plus. So we have 2.5 d electrons per vanadium. So here we have charged degrees of freedom also. So this is much more complicated system. And this compound shows a phase transition at 700 Kelvin. And this is a structural change. And below this temperature, the X-ray shows a doubling of the unit cell along the 111 direction of the cubic unit cell. 111 means this direction, perpendicular to the Kagome slice of the pyrochloridase. And this is a temperature dependence of resistivity and magnetic susceptibility. And you can see some shoulder behavior in the resistivity, and the system is insulating both above and below TC. And the magnetic susceptibility shows some sudden drop at TC, and it is followed by this kind of Curie-like behavior at low temperatures. And actually, in this experimental paper, the authors have proposed balance skipping type charge ordering for this transition, and that charge ordering state is shown schematically shown in this inset. In this Kagome slice, they assume vanadium 2 plus state, and in this gray side, this forms a large triangle lattice in this particular lattice, and they assume the vanadium 4 plus state on this gray walls. But this scenario, balance skipping type charge ordering scenario, we noted that this has some problems. One is the periodicity along 111 direction is not doubled in this charge of that state. As I said, the periodicity, unit cell is this foresight. So the unit cell is not changed in this charge of that state. But structurally, this is doubled. So this dependent structure is not consistent. And the second point is that it is not so clear to have this kind of, for example, sudden drop of the magnetic susceptibility by this charge differentiation. And very recently, another experimental group did the detailed X-ray diffraction data on this compound, and they obtained new findings. And this is the structure what they obtained. And in this figure, 111 direction is this direction. Then they found very strong trimer formation within the Kagome layer. So this, for example, this bottom layer is the Kagome layer. You can see very strong bond shrinkage in this trimer. Actually, but the bond length is 2.61, and it is very, very short compared to the long bond, 3.14 ohms long. So this is very strong trimerization within the Kagome layer. And in this lattice, there are three different vanadium sites, these yellow V1 sites and V2 sites, and these Kagome V3 sites. So this is due to the doubling of unit cell. And so by looking at this strong thermalization, naively we can think that the spin singlet, some kind of spin singlet formation within these trimers to explain the sharp drop in the magnetic susceptibility. And we attempting to say that these isolated moments should give Curie-like behavior at low temperature. But here we propose a different cluster this seven-size cluster, we call this heptamers, as the origin of singlet state to explain the sudden of the magnetic susceptibility. So the questions are twofold. One is the what the mechanism of the heptamer formation is. And so in other words, how the degeneracy in the plastic fibroclast system is lifted. And the, in the second level, we want to know that the how we can get this singlet state in the heptamer. And the, actually, at this stage, we couldn't answer this first question. This is very big, complicated problem. Pyroclast system with charges in orbital degrees of freedom. We didn't, we haven't solved this yet. So this remains as the open issue, but here we want to argue this second question. So we assume the heptamer here. So we assume the localized isolated moment outside these heptamers, and we assume that this is spin 1 by looking at the Curie component in the magnetic susceptibility. So this is this number of electrons is consistent with the low temperature Curie behavior. And we started from the T2G multi-orbital Hubble model for each heptamer, and we included sigma-type transfer and pi-type transfer, and the trigonal distortion in the center site, and also we included the Coulomb interaction. And the, also we assumed, for simplicity, we assumed the sigma-type bonding state in these trimers, because this bond length is extremely short. And there is very large sigma-type transfer integrals, and the, it may form a strong bonding state. So, like this. So this is the our effective heptamer model, and we solved this by using the exact diagonalization to clarify the ground state. And the, we show here the ground state degeneracy in the parameter space, and we found two different singlet regions. For example, this is a result for non-interacting case as a function of t pi is a pi type transfer integral, and this axis shows the trigonal distortion in the central site. And you can see red region and blue region. These are singlet states. And this state is like this. So the bonding state is formed along this diagonal bond by the strong sigma hopping. And in this blue region, we have different types. The bonding state is formed in within the trimers by using large T pi. And the remaining two electrons enter in the A1G state lowered by trigonal distortion. So the question is, what happened to these states by including Coulomb interaction? And yeah, this is a result for UCO4 and UCO5, UCO8. Then you can see that the both singlet states shrink by interaction, but the this sigma type singlet state is rather robust against the interaction, but this blue guy pi type singlet state is pushed out from this parameter space, so this is fragile actually. So and the question is, where is the real system? But and it is difficult to say that the value of parameters, but the here borrow the value from Slater Costa parameters for the Hopping integrals, then the ratio is around here, white, along white lines. So it is within the, for example, UCO4 case, within the sigma type singlet state. From this result, we concluded that the our effective heptamer model, it has a singlet ground state. It is sigma type. And actually, it is schematically shown here. So this singlet state is kind of molecule of the bonding states by of the three T2G orbitals. For example, this bonding state is formed by DXY orbital, which has a large overlap along the XY bond. So this molecule is covered by 9 bonding states with three T2G orbitals. So here the anisotropy of the orbital transfer integral is very important here. That's why we thought about this heptamer here. And yeah, we actually estimated the spin gap which is defined by the excitation gap to the first magnetic excited state. And the, yeah, I don't want to go into details of the results, but anyway, the estimate is a little bit larger, twice or something, compared to the experimental one. But the, here, we consider only isolated heptama. So probably we should include some coupling between heptamas, and it may reduce the value of spin. And the, yeah, we hope that the, we can get some reasonable values. But anyway,
so is there elastic neutron data on this thing?
Actually, no. At least I don't know.
Presumably, in this kind of very strongly localized picture, you'd have very flat excitation.
Exactly. Okay, so the anyway, we have singlet in this heptama and the localized moment at outside V1 site, S equal 1. So the combination of these contributions, we can comprehensively explain the temperature dependence of magnetic
subsystems. This extra local moment outside the heptama, in your model, you simply just assumed it, yeah? Or you
yeah, we assume, yeah. It is the assumption.
Simply divided, you just put 18
electrons. This is very, very simple.
Kind of that was input.
We just assumed. The
somehow chemical potential of electrons should be the same, yeah? Or,
yeah.
It shouldn't go from
yeah, but the, anyway, the, if we believe this experiment, the bond length is very large.
No, that's low. Consistent with distortion, yeah.
Yeah, distortion is consistent, but the, anyway, that is a very assumption in the model.
Somehow three-dimensional analog of lithium vanadium
atom.
Well, it's next step actually, it's more complicated.
Lithium vanadium?
Lithium vanadium. Lithium VO2, like we have three maps.
Okay, yeah, I will go to the lithium vanadium.
Actually, we did already this again, many calculations against it, so didn't yet, but you. And, well, if you, of course, put this latent distortion, then, of course, you reproduce this singlet and you reproduce all this picture. And indeed, the charges are correct, models are correct. Our problem was really that why I asked him to do it, actually, just
okay.
to simply understand, to get some feeling of why just this particular strange combination, why not,
that is
not
the,
anything else. That's actually
so, we, yeah, as then you said.
Why heptamers are better than...
Why?
Again, we probably have to write it down because all that is not finished, really. But interpretation, what to extract of it, is kind of a problem.
Okay.
Most simple, part of it actually is simple because in hexagonal layer, this terminalization is here. It's kind of piles actually in this in multi-directed pile. So that's essentially will be very similar picture to this layer of lithium vanadium. The only difference is then it was triangular physics, but same physics, kind of quasi one-dimensional shape. But again, it's a dense structure. No. The question.
Yeah, that is a very important question. Yeah.
Actually,
this is. Yeah.
I expected that there would be some nesting, and we didn't see it.
Oh yeah.
But you see this very localized feature also.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually produced, of course, yeah.
Okay.
But it comes to verify why heptamers are better in this case than anything else. That's the problem.
Yeah, so for that problem, we need some thermodynamic calculation by including lattice.
So do you have any ideas why indeed in this particular system
heptamers are better than some people? We don't have any.
Why is that should be the object?
I want to know.
Another question again, so the temperature at which this happens is what?
700 K.
700?
Yeah. Condition
temperature.
I saw the distortion is very strong.
Definitely strong.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
Would have been very surprising for the flow
time. There is very big change in the latitude.
Yeah, it's huge.
Okay, so the this was told by Daniel already. So we have. Probably everybody wants to know the reason to have this kind of very complicated cluster. But anyway, that is very open, interesting question. But I want to make some related comment.
Maybe one question.
Okay.
When you include this U, because this picture of molecules is kind of completely
like ordinary
no interaction.
Like chemists use molecular orbital without any.
The point was that if
you this
stabilizes is a single state, but
stabilize of this
But the my point is that the sigma type singlet is rather stable against school instruction. That is the point of our calculation.
Yeah, that's actually like difference in hydrogen molecule between what the chemists call molecular orbital, LKO, MO, and hydrolondon. And hydrolondon in dimers also give a very stable, and here it's not,
Yeah, it's not.
Here it's...
Yeah, of course it is, the region is shrinked, but it remains,
The bus. But the single gap reduces in
the gap is reduced,
Reduced.
Yeah. Okay, so my comment, final comment is on this lithium vanadate. Actually we found the cluster formation in this mixed valence compound. So our question is that is there a similar phenomenon, cluster formation in other mixed valence compounds? And you probably everybody knows about the heavy fermion behavior in this compound. This is again the mixed valence compound. The number of d electrons is 1.5. And the probably everybody knows about the controversy on the theoretical interpretation of the heavy fermion behavior. And the there are two different scenarios. One is Kondo scenario, and the other is geometrical fluctuation. And I want to point out the important experimental facts in this, in the lithium vanadate. That is the metal insulator transition under pressure. This is a resistivity, temperature dependence of resistivity under pressure. This is ambient pressure. And if you apply pressure, then the system becomes insulating. So this is a transition from metal to insulator. So this is completely opposite to the usual correlated electron system. In general, if you apply pressure, the transition occurs from insulator to metal because the pressure enhances the overlap between the wave function and it enhances the bandwidth. So this is completely opposite. So, and also the very recently, the EXAPS is the extended, I don't remember, X-ray or something, is suggesting that the existence of very short and long vanadium-vanadium bonds in this insulating state. So this is very suggesting fact. So from these facts, I don't know, but there is a very interesting possibility to think about some cluster formations in this lithium vanadate. Because the cluster formation might occur when you apply pressure. Because the cluster formation, in the cluster formation, the wave function overlap is very important. Because of to form some bonding states.
So the question is that uniaxial pressure or is it
uniaxial? Probably this is not uniaxial. I don't know. I don't remember, but this should be some.
It's supposed to be hydrostatic, but
probably hydrostatic. But I don't know where this data has been published. Then do you know? Actually, I have taken this figure from the PhD thesis. I don't know about the Takagi-sensei has shown this figure many times. Actually, I don't know. Okay, anyway, I want to point out some interesting possibility to have cluster formation in this mixed valence compound also. And if that is the case, we can say that the lithium vanadate is very close to the instability to some cluster formation. And there might be some possibility to give some explanation for the heavy fermion behavior from that kind of scenario. I don't know, but you want to... Okay, so long time, so this is the summary, so I should stop here. Thank you very much.
Was there any doping of aluminium vanadate?
Doping?
Doping.
Oh, for example, if you change lithium to zinc, then the compound...
Zinc, but I mean aluminium.
Oh,
aluminium
I don't know.
I don't know,
Probably they didn't try.
because it looks like this Manhattan are very closely related to this proper number of electrons of the field.
But in that sense, the zinc vanadium is close to the virus, right? But the, actually, the, this lithium vanadium is very, very special, because if you dope zinc, very small concentration of zinc, the system becomes insulin, and the spin glass state appears in the glass.
Lithium vanadium, yeah. Lithium
vanadium. Lithium zinc vanadium.
Lithium doped by zinc,
yeah.
But and also, you don't know aluminium, so you don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
Any topics, you don't know.
Okay.
I think this is a good time to
thank you for listening.